Heavenly Father, as we come to listen to your word, we ask that you may speak to us, Lord, this morning. Lord, as rain falls on a dry land, we ask that you may refresh us and renew us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage us and lift us up. Help us to focus our hearts and minds to you, Lord. We can't do that on our own, so we need your help, Father. And we ask for that. Come, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are approaching a wonderful time of the year. A time of the year when we unwind from all the hustle and busyness from work. A time of the year when university shuts down for summer. A break from all the assignments and deadlines. A time of the year when flight prices go crazy high, meaning a lot of the people travel all over the world and locally to be with their family. A time of the year for feasting. And most of all, it is the Christmas season, a time to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, a time for spiritual preparation, a time to pause and reflect on our heart's affections as we look forward to the new year. Christmas has all the reasons for us to celebrate, to be filled with overflowing joy and thankfulness. Last week we looked at a promise God made right in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. God, in certain unique moments in history, has promised and revealed his plan for mankind through specific people. Today we are going to focus on one promise God made to a specific person in history called Abraham. So what did God promise? So what did God promise to Abraham? He said to Abraham, which can be found in Genesis chapter 22 verse 18, "Through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed." Offspring means a child or a descendant of a person. That is, through one specific child in Abraham's descendants or family line, all the nations on earth would be blessed. So who is this Abraham? What's his story? So this happened approximately 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus. So around 4,000 years ago. So let's go on a journey 4,000 years ago to explore what happened. We shall look at four encounters between God and Abraham, which would give us a bit of a context to this promise. So the first one, God's call to Abraham. So we need to start at Genesis chapter 12. Till Genesis 11, we see the world was nothing but growing in wickedness and people were indulging in sin. Then in Genesis 12, we see God intervenes. God speaks. Please follow along from verse 1. So Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" When God called Abraham, he was 75 years old. God asked him to leave everything he was familiar with to a land which God would show. There is a lot of blessings mentioned in the passage. God promises to make him a father of many. He would have many, many descendants, that they would become a great nation. And also in the end, there was a mention that all peoples on earth would be blessed through Abraham. Let's keep track of that blessing. All people on earth would be blessed through him. So that's moving on to the second encounter. God promises Abraham a son. A couple of chapters later, in chapter 15 of Genesis, we see Abraham was afraid. God had asked him to leave everything to go to a new land, and that his descendants or children would be many and fill the land. But Abraham was childless. He needs to have a son first for all the blessings to come. In chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, Abraham said to God, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. God assures Abraham a son of his own flesh and blood. Not only that, God also gave Abraham a picture. In chapter 15, verse 5, he took him outside and said, "Look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to them, "So shall your offspring be. Your children will be as numerous as the stars in the sky." Let's move on to the next encounter, the birth of Isaac. Moving a bit further to chapter 17, now Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old, well past childbearing age. God appeared to Abraham and confirmed what he had promised beforehand, that he would greatly increase his numbers. In verses 17, we see Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And God's answer was, "Yes. I know you are 100 and I know your wife is 90. But yes, your wife Sarah will bear a son and you will call him Isaac." This time God gives them a name. Moving on to chapter 21, we see in verse 2, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And after the birth of Isaac, God confirmed that blessings would come through Isaac. We can see that in verse 12, "It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned." And moving on to the next encounter, here God tests Abraham. After a few years, when Isaac grew up to become a young boy, God once again spoke to Abraham. This time the conversation is a bit different. God gives him a command to test him. We can see that in Genesis chapter 22 from verse 2. And God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." This would have shattered Abraham and also thrown him into a great confusion. He must have thought, previously God promised my descendants would come through Isaac, and now God is asking me to sacrifice Isaac. Also, Isaac was his only son, the only son of the promise. In spite of the confusion and dilemma, he proceeds. Abraham obeys God. He begins the journey to sacrifice his son Isaac. While he was about to sacrifice, an angel of the Lord calls out. We see that in verse 12. "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy." And then Abraham sees a ram caught by its horns in the thicket, and he sacrificed the animal instead of Isaac. And we also see Abraham named the mountain, "The Lord will provide." Also, we need to be aware, in the beginning of chapter 22, it is clearly mentioned that sometime later God tested Abraham. So God never really intended Abraham to end up killing Isaac. Abraham's faith was tested and he comes out victorious. then once again God confirms the blessing that was promised beforehand. Please follow along in Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 to 18. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. In Genesis 12, when God first promised Abraham, the promise was a bit more general. All peoples on earth will be blessed. Yet here in chapter 22, God adds a bit more clarity to the promise. Through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed. At this stage, all we have is a child would come in the family tree of Abraham, and that he would be a blessing to all nations. That's all we have got at this point, awaiting a promised son, an offspring who would be a blessing. So who is this promised offspring? Who is this expected person who would bless the world? Who is this promised son of Abraham? As we move forward to the New Testament times, the New Testament writers picks up on the promise. Paul points out in Galatians that the offspring or seed of Abraham, through whom the whole world would be blessed, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person, who is Christ. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ didn't just happen as any other birth. An American theologian, Lorraine Butner, in his book Studies in Theology, writes about Jesus Christ. He says, "In all the history of the world, Jesus emerges as the only expected person." In Matthew's account of the gospel, Matthew begins with the genealogy. And this is how he begins. "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And he gives us the whole genealogy from Abraham to David, and from David to Joseph, the father of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the promised offspring who is a blessing to all nations. So what are the things we can learn about God from this promise? What are the things which we can apply in our lives? Let's look at three applications. Number one, our God helps to put our trust in Him. Our God helps to put our trust in Him. We can trust God because He is a trustworthy God. God made a promise 4,000 years ago, and it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago at the coming of Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word shall never pass away. Sometimes it's not easy to take God at His word. It can be hard. A newly married husband, in his first few months of marriage, finds out his wife's favorite dish was butter chicken. Goes to his wife and says, "Honey, I'm going to cook the most delicious butter chicken you will ever try." Wife thinks to herself, "It's lovely, but unbelievable. The man doesn't know how to cook." Whenever he comes to the kitchen, it's a disaster. She couldn't believe what he just said. But the husband was very determined. He starts studying online, 9 steps to make butter chicken. He begins to practice day and night. He buys and keeps all the ingredients needed for that in the kitchen. But the wife sees everything what he's been doing, and she goes, "Wow, this is happening." Her thinking changes now. Maybe he would do it. Looks like he's very determined. Well, God helps to overcome our unbelief and to put our trust in Him. The only difference from the story is God knows everything and we don't deserve His blessing. Instead, we deserve the opposite. God didn't have to choose Abraham. He didn't have to promise beforehand. He didn't have to write down these accounts and He didn't have to give us the scriptures. But He chose to do it. God helps us to put our trust in Him and in His word. Also in the account of Abraham, there is a section in verse 15, there is a section in chapter 15 where Abraham asks God, God, how can I know that these things would happen? And God didn't say, oh, come on, Abraham, why don't you just believe? Instead, God speaks to him. God made a symbolic demonstration of His covenant, showing that God would be faithful to His word. At times when we struggle in sin, and when Satan accuses us of what we have done, shows us we are worthless, and condemns us to the ground, we have a God who is determined to help us to put our trust in Him. And we have a God who is determined to help us, to lift us up. We can trust God because He is a trustworthy God. And a God who is determined to help us put our trust in Him. Second point, let the name of Jesus be at the top of our invite list this Christmas season. We saw the promise God made to Abraham and the promise being fulfilled in Jesus. Through Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. So how is Jesus a blessing to our lives? Or to rephrase, what difference does Jesus make to our normal everyday routine life? How does the birth, the life, the death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus impact our lives? As we live in these last days, the period between the first and the second coming of Jesus, what are the blessings we are to experience today? The Bible says in Ephesians, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we put our trust in God and accept Jesus, we are a new creation. A new process of transformation begins inside us. We begin to grow more like Jesus. Through His Spirit, God comes and lives in us, and we can experience from within. May this year, tens of thousands of people gathered at an airport in Perth to witness the landing of Antonov AN-225, world's largest cargo plane. With the six supercharged turbo engines, must have been quite an experience to witness this powerful plane making a touchdown. But this powerful touchdown is nothing but a speck of dust when compared to the touchdown that took place 2,000 years ago. The maker of the entire universe, the one who formed the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the planet, making a touchdown in a humble way, in a manger, in a town of Bethlehem, so that we could be saved and have life in Him. Behold, what a manner of love this is, John exclaims in his book. We don't have to go to any airport and sit behind the fence to experience it. We can experience Jesus personally from within. What a powerful and enjoyable gift to have this Christmas season. Let the name of Jesus be at the top of our invite list this Christmas season. And if you're wondering about his RSVP, his response is always, yes, I'm excited. And number three, Christmas, a blessing to all nations. God told Abraham, through your offspring, that is Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. Jesus is a blessing to all nations. When God blessed Abraham, He didn't say, I will bless you and you will be blessed, dot. Instead, God said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all nations. God's blessing never stagnates. It flows and overflows. I went to a school for 11 years. This school is quite known for its discipline, toughness, and competitiveness. It's a kind of a school which is hard to get in, and once you are in, you feel it's hard to get out. I didn't like my school very much, but somehow managed to sail through. But last week, something I remembered from my school, which highly increased my appreciation for my school. It was a Christian school, and I remembered our school's motto, which said, "Bless us to be a blessing." I was able to find that up online. Bless us to be a blessing. Jesus is a blessing to all nations. So the right prayer to pray to God is not bless me so that I will be blessed, but instead to ask, God, how can I be a blessing to others? Bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. Bless our family so that our family could be a blessing to others. As Christians, we are in Jesus. We have a new life in Jesus, and we are entrusted with the life-changing message of Jesus. The Bible says it is the power of God for everyone who believes. But for someone to believe, they need to hear the message of Jesus. And this blessing is available to everyone. Not only to those who are part of a church, but to everyone. To our family, to our friends, to those who live next door, and also to those we come across in our everyday life. This is a great hope to the homeless, the widows and orphans in our community. Next week we have our carols, a great opportunity to reach the people in our community with the message of Jesus. Because Christmas is a blessing to all nations. God is a trustworthy God. May the grace of God overflow in us and through us in this season. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you don't have to give a promise, Lord, but you chose to give a promise, and that promise was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is a blessing to all nations. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord, we ask that you may help us to put our trust in you, God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you may clothe us with power and love, what you have shown us in Jesus. Bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. We ask that you may do that for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.